Now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Deb Turner with us from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. Deb, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, really what I was talking about was the fact that President Bush is trying to impress his father, obviously, with these moves toward Iraq. And
well, that's you've even said that's a decidedly female point of view.
I don't know that it's a decidedly female point of view, but I do know that it is one that does come from our organization, which is primarily women, and women have always had a much more sensible view of the world. And women have always exercised a common sense in our society. We've also campaigned for peace. I think the time now is for women of North America to be heard and to bring some sanity and sense to this dialogue. President Bush is simply trying to impress his father for a variety of reasons. And if you ever saw the film, I Never Sang for My Father.
This is a film?
Yes, it was a film that starred Melvin Douglas and Gene Hackman, and this was a young man trying to garner his father's approval through a series of ill-considered acts. And President Bush is no different. He wants the love of his father. He is completely ignoring the fact that there is no real threat from Saddam Hussein. It was not Saddam Hussein who flew the planes into the World Trade Center. It was Bin Laden. There were no Iraqis on the plane. We forget this war was fought over 10 years ago. So it's done. It's so simple, yet people are so caught up in the emotion. And I can't believe Bush has a nation convinced that we have to do something about Iraq. Again, it's a classic case of men who want to impress their fathers.
Deb Turner is with Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. You think that this is a view commonly held by women?
Because of the fact that women have always exercised a more sensible view. We've always been the ones who have mitigated more extreme emotions. I think it's very obvious that women in our society are campaigning for the president to stop trying to get the love of his daddy and quit trying to get the love of his mother and try to rise above some of the exploits of his brothers. His own wife is one who obviously can see his drawbacks. You can see it in her face. She looks embarrassed a lot of times to be around him. When she's asked questions about him, her eyes sort of dart around, you know.
I've seen Laura Bush in a lot of interviews. I would never think that she was embarrassed by her husband.
Well, it's something that's something women can see.
What we're talking about weapons of mass destruction and the possibility that he has those.
Well, until the inspectors can get in there, Phil, if you ever saw a film called Rebel Without a Cause, it's a very famous movie.
Yes, I've seen it.
In that film, a young man grabs his father in the living room and tries to beat him up. He tries to do damage to him. I see President Bush as the young James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, grabbing the older Bush, wrestling him across a sofa, and there is Barbara Bush screaming the words, "Do you want to kill your own father?" You can easily put George Bush Jr. in that scene.
That George Bush Jr. wants to literally...
No, figuratively.
Figuratively kill his own father
for not recognizing him as being a great president, for not recognizing him, for not giving him more credit.
All right, Women in Common Sense, Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy Director Deb Turner is with us from New York. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The basic impetus of President Bush's thrust toward Iraq is the needing the love of his father.
Well, needing the love of his father and not... And he also doesn't have, I don't think, a real understanding of foreign policy. I really think that he has confused a lot of things.
Like what? Like you're saying that he confused the fact that Iraq was not involved in the World Trade Center.
Iraq was not involved in the World Trade Center. People forget that. There were no Iraqis on that plane. And there's another film I want to recommend, Phil. It's called Goodfellas. A lot of us know it as a mafia movie, but in Goodfellas, the young son is trying to get the love of his Irish father, and he doesn't get it, so he becomes really a criminal and goes off and joins the Goodfella mafia. President Bush is that boy in that film, parking cars for mobsters, admiring the criminal underworld because his own father beat him and made him feel that.
Are you suggesting this in figurative and psychological terms or in literal terms that the elder Bush beat his son?
I have no way of knowing, Phil. I don't think any of us will ever know. But I do know that it is possible that George Bush Sr. beat rather severely his son George Jr. And George Bush 41 has always looked upon his son Bush 43 as a complete idiot. We can bring into this the drinking, the baseball teams, etc., which George Jr. has been involved in and has made him an embarrassment to that family. And I think that that has a lot to do with him trying to push us into a war with Iraq. I don't know if you ever saw the film Kramer versus Kramer. There is a wonderful scene there where the boy is running to his father to gain the love of his father, but he isn't able to. I'm sure that at some point in his life, George Bush saw his parents divorcing and ran toward his father and hugged his leg and said, "Please, Daddy, don't leave." And
well, so far you've attributed to President Bush the fact or the possibility that he was beaten by his father, that his mother and father might have had a divorce and he hugged his father's leg, that...
Let me bring up another example, Phil. In the film HUD...
Well, you're bringing up a lot of movies.
But this is very pivotal. In the film HUD, HUD, played by Paul Newman, screams at his father, you are just like me. You are trash just like me. Melvin Douglas plays the father also in this film. One can well imagine George Bush Jr. screaming at his father, "You're nothing but garbage like me. You think you're so great." And let's remember one other thing. George Sr. did not take out Saddam Hussein. George Jr. is going to do it and then perhaps win the love of his father.
So this all comes down to a shallow worldview on the part of George Bush, thinking that it wasn't it was the Iraqis that bombed the World Trade Center, and that he needs the love of his father.
I think it does. And the other thing, Phil, that is part and parcel of this is, number one, that President Bush has to recognize it's our turn. It's like a dodgeball game. We all get hit with the ball. America's gotten hit with the ball, and America has to stand there and figuratively cover its genitals as someone throws water balloons at it. I think it's our turn in the dodgeball game.
Deb Turner with some, and I know there's a rally Sunday.
That's right, Phil, on the Capitol Mall, Sunday, September 22nd.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, as we talk about President Bush and why he wants to attack Iraq. Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy say he has a serious issue with his own father. Here is Tina on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to call in response to Deb's comments. First of all, I want to sound as respectful as possible.
Tina, can I ask you, how old are you?
I am 31.
Our organization would love to be able to send you some literature. At the end of our phone call, I'd love to give you an address.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I just would like to say that if this organization, you're a spokesperson for that organization, then I probably would want nothing to do with it.
Well, why is because that? I'm interested to know because I'm...
Because to me, common sense means watching more C-SPAN and less movies to have an idea of what's going on in our world.
I'm asking you, Tina, to understand that it is a possibility that somewhere in George Bush Jr.'s life, there was a violent struggle with his father. And I'm talking...
Literally.
Literally. Yes.
Okay. And I appreciate the fact, that you want to psychoanalyze the Bushes. That's fine. Everybody
has
the right to do that.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do that. And can you imagine George Bush slapping his own father across the face?
Okay. First of all,
I think
George Bush Sr. is not in office. George Bush Jr. is in office. And I do not think that half of America would have, which are women. There's a lot of women in America who voted for George Bush Jr.
Then you understand,
of which I was one.
You understand he has this all wrong because there were no Iraqis on that plane that struck New York. There were no Iraqis on the plane that struck Washington.
Understand the concept of a clear and present danger to the United States? Is it, why do we have to?
Excuse me,
ma'am. I've listened to you. I'm asking you to listen
Arabia,
to me.
And he slapped his own father in the face.
ma'am.
Let the lady finish.
We're not talking about a father-to-son conflict. We are talking about a clear and present danger to our country. And I'm not talking about a clear and present danger in the movie. I'm talking about a real clear and present danger.
You told me not to mention movies. Now you mention a book.
I talk.
Tom Clancy book.
I'm just saying, you're probably going to make an analogy to it.
Yeah, it's a term used in intelligence circles.
It's not a movie. It's not Rebel Without a Cause. It's an actual problem.
No, I think all women recognize this pain that George is going through because we see how fathers ignore their sons.
I am a woman, and I don't know what you're talking about. I watch C-SPAN when I want information. I don't watch movies and try to bring correlations between the president, the ruler of the free world. You know,
I'm saying if we could recognize that somewhere in George Bush's past, there was a violent, violent struggle in the living room with his father. Where he
killed
his father over a sofa the way James Dean did.
You don't know that he did that. You don't know he threw George Bush Sr. over a sofa in the living room.
Okay.
Then why is he trying to get his father's love?
Who said he's trying to... You know, from all I can tell, his father loves him just fine.
Yeah.
And I can see why, because he's a great president. But one last thing I wanted
to
say...
Aren't you? I come from New York, and things are a little bit different up here.
Well,
they really
evidently.
Are. They're really different up here. They're not, wherever you're from, they're not the same.
What does that mean, wherever I'm from? What does that mean? Because I have a southern accent, I'm not intelligent?
Well,
I'm from Florida. We
I
have
did
just
notice.
As much going on here as you
oh,
do up
I know.
There.
Well, you've got a vote counting problem there. I don't
That doesn't
comment.
Have anything to do with me.
I'm sure it doesn't.
But my point is,
the women
if I had something...
The child of this little boy who wants his daddy's love routine. Really, we are,
okay, but,
Tina.
What, okay, my last
All right,
point...
Let the lady say, no, then we got to take a break, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
If
the last point I was
movie,
wanted to say... ma'am,
let the lady finish.
The
I heard
like
about Godfather and Rebel Without a Cause. Go ahead, Tina.
Can I make my comment before she gets to
yes,
talk the rest
I,
of the
I
show
want
and I have to go?
Go ahead, Tina.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, I had very traumatic events happen to me when I was young. And I am a strong, independent...
I really think if you would watch the film Goodfellas or
I have seen these films, but I see them...
Let
like
her finish.
Yes, please.
All right, look, I gotta take... I'm sorry.
I've had traumatic events happen to me as a young person.
All right. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. They're having a rally in Washington this Sunday, featuring a variety of speakers from all walks of life, and they feel that much of what motivates President Bush's desire to attack Iraq is the need to impress his father, because at some point in their past, President George Bush Jr. violently attacked and had a fist fight with his own father. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. And your point on President Bush again?
Phil, the point on President Bush is simply that the president has exhibiting something that I think all American women can see. That all American women can see, all North American women can see as typical of a father, of a man trying to impress his father. The competition that the boys and my three sons had to go through to get Fred McMurray to even look at them, I think is very telling. Fred McMurray, if you look at the reruns, again...
You're using...
They're popular culture examples of what I'm talking about.
All right.
If you look at the episodes of My Three Sons, Fred McMurray never even looked at those boys until they did something violent or really disgusting, and then he'd look at them and deal with them. I'm saying that all American women really feel that this is about a young man who desperately wants his father's love. We see it time and again. President Bush Sr., when he went to Japan, and he got sick. He vomited at that dinner. That is possibly after a long drinking bout with his own son, trying to iron things out, and he vomited. while the son, George Jr., is nowhere to be seen. So I am banking a lot of money on the fact that he's a sick, sick, twisted old man trying to reject his son's love.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Cloris. Hello, Cloris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Deb Turner from Women for Common Sense and Foreign Policy. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say to Deb, you know, that you're seeing too many films, and these films, a lot of them go back years ago. Let's get realistic, eh?
Let's live in today's world. What about my three sons?
What about it? Listen, President Bush has the love of his... President Bush has the love of his wife. He doesn't need the love of his father. He's a mature man. He has advisors.
Looks for the love of their father.
Oh, come on
and
now,
Bush,
get realistic. Stop seeing so many films.
If you saw the film Ordinary People.
I don't
People,
live by films. They're just entertainment.
Well, what do you live by then? Do you live
by real life, what's going on in the world
today, Were you ever married?
What is your business if I was married
all
or
right,
not?
All right, I want to know if you've ever had
How
sons.
Old are
no,
you? How
wait,
old are
no,
you and
no.
what is your religion?
I'm a lesbian. I don't have
You're
children.
A lesbian?
Yes, I am.
Well, good luck to you.
Oh, so you're homophobic on top of stupid. You're really stupid.
I didn't say anything.
You're a homophobe.
Stop seeing so many films and get into the real world
today. Why don't you have yourself a husband and have some sons?
Listen,
and you know,
my dear, don't worry about me. Worry about the world
you live
in.
Where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada.
You didn't have any television
Toronto, Canada.
Right,
President
where they had
Bush
no television.
Has the love of his wife and family and his
Toronto,
mother
Canada,
and father.
Absolutely not.
They love
no
him
good
dearly.
Television.
They've got television
they love
in Canada.
Him dearly.
They don't have good television in Canada.
Okay,
so
he's got all the love in the world, President Bush.
How do you know?
Because how do you know what
how
you're
do you know?
Saying?
I
how
happen
do you
to know
that he needs...
He beat his father.
He's going to start a war because he didn't have the love of his
I
father.
Can only
how
hope,
do you know that?
I can only hope that Jean Chrétien, the
how
prime minister
know
of
anything?
Canada, should have the
Other
crap kicked
from
out of
the
him.
Movie.
Should have the crap kicked out of him by his own
Other
son as well.
Other from the movies. What do you know?
You're an old lady, and I don't really want to...
You don't even know my age.
And the top-rated show...
Anyway,
Canada
thank you very
news,
much,
so.
And I say
yeah,
good luck
Bob
to the United States.
Big,
I love United States.
He's got a real
States.
Big igloo
and
building
And I like President Bush.
You like Bush?
I love
so
him.
Do I.
All right, thank you. What is that?
I think it's an example of a Canadian woman as opposed to an American woman. She doesn't get how violent American youth are. And plus the fact she said that she liked Bush.
Well, you said you're a lesbian, right?
Yes, I am. But I don't really call myself that so much as someone who is free of orientation tethers and anchors. So I hope that people understand whether you're straight or gay, all women feel that President Bush most probably had sex with a housekeeper that his own father was having sex with as well. Shared partner between father and son is damaging.
Do you have any evidence to support the notion that President Bush shared a housekeeper with his old man?
I think what he's doing is classic. It is symptomatic of a father and a son sharing sex with the same African-American housekeeper.
You're kidding, right?
No, I am not kidding. And if you come to our rally on the 22nd of this Sunday in the Capitol Mall, you'll know what we're talking about.
All right, 1-800-449. We'll continue with Deb Turner here after our break. 1-800-449-8686. She thinks that President Bush wants to invade Iraq because he wants the love of his father. In fact, she thinks that both men shared the same woman at one time. Additionally, she believes that probably George Jr. beat his own father up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry with Deb Turner. Go ahead, Deb. Okay, I don't know if I have the caller. Is the caller there?
Yes, so I'm sorry, but the idea that Iraqis have nuclear weapons is preposterous. And the reason I say preposterous, this is a culture of people whose primary form of clothing is essentially a sheet that they wear wrapped around themselves and tied at certain areas. Their primary clothing is very simple. Their primary mode of transportation is by way of animal or beast of burden. This is not a country that could have nuclear weapons. So that's mistake number two that President Bush Jr. makes, along with trying to show up his father and be a bigger man than his father, even though they have shared the same sex partners and he beat him up in the garage one day.
You don't have any proof of any of that. Any proof of any of that, even though you say it's all symptomatic.
All women understand. You're a man, you don't understand, but women understand.
Women understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Etta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Whoa, okay, whoa, Etta, your phone is breaking up there, dear. Say it again. Oh, yeah, that's nasty. Hold on, Etta, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold until you get into a better cell. Maybe that's the answer. Here is Brenda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I totally disagree that the father and the son have the conflict. George Bush is having to clean up his father's mess.
Well, what about the possibility that they had the same...
I don't know about that, but I know for sure that my uncle was with the 82nd Airborne, and he was the third one over at Desert Storm, and they had the guy in Iraq, and Bush called it backwards because he said that that wasn't
their goal. Trying to show up his father to get his love.
He's not trying to show him up. He's having to clean up his mess, and he's expected to do what a president's expected to do, to protect
Brenda, let's talk like women now. Don't you think that this is symptomatic of two men who had the same woman in bed one night?
How do you figure that out?
You don't. Think about it.
No.
I think you're casting some slanderous aspersions on President
Bush. Correct.
I'm saying is based on fact. I think he's a wonderful man. I don't see anything wrong with two men teaming up. But I'm saying that...
Well, they are teaming up because his father's still partially telling him what to do and guiding him through the presidency.
No, but I mean teaming up on a Friday night. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't think tag team sex is within that family.
A tag team.
I don't think tag team sex is within the Bush realm.
I do not either. I think that they're a very middle mainstream family.
Right.
Once a father sleeps with a son's woman, there's nowhere else to go but go threesome. And when you go threesome, now you're getting into some psychological deep water. When you go tag team... Now you're in serious trouble.
First you got George Jr. beating up his old man and throwing him over a couch. Now they're sharing the same women. And all of this is why we're invading Iraq.
How about a president doing his duty to his country and to the world to rid the world of this evil person?
But that's where he's got it wrong, because the World Trade Towers were attacked by Saudi Arabians, not Iraqis. That's number one.
Iraq has been a threat for over 10 years.
Something needs to be done about it.
He's putting his foot down. That we're picking up the sword. We've got balls now, and we're going to back up what we say as Americans, what we stand for.
But he wears.
Bravo, Brenda. I agree with you.
But Mr. Hendry, a country where the people wear sheets can't have nuclear weapons.
We could turn around. Sure, they could.
No, they can't.
You don't think that they have underground? Saddam Hussein lives underground. He has six lookalikes.
You know,
the man
really
is so fearful of us. He only comes out like a mole when he wants to try to make us out.
Oh, Brenda, you're really way out there.
I'm not.
You are way out there.
I'm not way out there.
Yeah, Brenda,
you're talking about threesomes is way out there.
You're right again, Brenda.
Well, the two of you can laugh, but I didn't see Mr. Hussein with his hand on the yoke of that airplane. Did you?
Doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you what, the Iraqis, when they were in Prague, they had an Iraqi special agent in Prague talking to one of those Al-Qaeda scum, like 3 months before it happened.
Oh, that's very flimsy.
I believe that Iraq is involved in the world trade.
They're way out there.
If things,
I agree.
If things are allowed to track properly,
yep, I do too.
Time will tell.
All right, Brenda, thanks.
What's going on? Because when you sleep with the devil, you become the devil.
You're way far out there, Brenda, and you'd really need to pull it back in. Sisters have got to do it for themselves. And our organization, Women for Common Sense for Foreign Policy, will
if they let me go fly a plane and bomb his ass, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Oh, you're really far out.
Okay, listen, thank you. No, you're not far out, Brenda. 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Debbie.
I would like to make a point. I think the lady speaking is sexually frustrated because she's trying to make this very important issue sexual.
No,
I said it was about
a father trying to impress his son. Initially, that was my point.
That's ridiculous.
If you saw the
film,
did you ever see The Godfather?
What has that got to do with anything?
That was a son trying desperately to get the love of his father, and he gets...
Who are you trying to get the love of?
I'm trying to help my country.
And no, you're not.
Oh, my God. With the country is about ready to go to war, and you want to sit back, you should join most of the women in this country and speak out against war. That's what women do. I think we should go to war.
I'm concerned for my... That's
not very womanly of you. I don't think you're acting like a woman.
I don't think you're a woman, actually.
Well, you know something? I don't think you're a woman if you don't believe that we should have peace, and even if it's spelled P-I-E-C-E.
Peace comes with a price, sweetheart.
P-I-E-C-E.
And I'm not willing to pay that price.
Get a piece for peace. You know the other thing, Debbie, is you're acting dried up. Are you menopausal?
What?
You're acting dried up. Are you menopausal?
Are you menopausal? And that's an insulting question.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. This woman is wacko.
You know, I only hope. Do you have problem lubricating?
Would you not say those things?
This woman is a lunatic. Hang up on her. Who is she?
I care about my country. I don't know about you.
Oh, you All don't right. care about your country. You're sexually frustrated, woman.
You know something? You're the first one. You know what? You're having hot flashes, and you don't want to admit it.
I can't even understand.
All right, listen, Debbie, thanks for your call. We have time, Deb, and then you can give out the address for your Capitol Mall rally.
I'd be happy to, Phil.
We've got time for one more call here. Nicole, go ahead, Nicole. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, hon.
I think that you're an absolute disgrace to Women with Common Sense, and that your program, if they think like you, ought to be shut down.
Well, you're very young, Nicole. You don't really know what is going on in the world with a lot of us females who are trying to direct our country in a better way.
Well,
what do you find so funny?
I can't believe the things you're saying. You're relating things to TV shows. I mean, what do you think about September 11th?
I thought it was horrible.
Do you think that the President Bush maybe had sex to get that to happen, or what?
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. Of course, I don't think the president had anything to do with that. I think Osama bin Laden and the Saudi Arabians did. I didn't see the Iraqis. I think President Bush and his father might have shared the same sexual partner.
What makes you think that? That's just a psychological point of view that you're taking from an outsider's position.
Don't you think it would be interesting if they had, though, and in so doing, it would create a dynamic that could result in blowing up a country?
I think that, you know, the reason that this is even in debate about war, it has plenty of sense. I mean, obviously... I mean, if you're not paying attention to things, it's obviously you not paying attention to things.
Nicole.
Are you worried about nuclear war?
Of course I am.
Have you ever
messed around with one of your girlfriends just out of curiosity?
Now, come on. This is an under... How old are you, Nicole?
I'm 21.
Oh, you're okay. I thought you were underage, but still, it's very insulting.
I don't
messed around with one of your girlfriends.
If I did, it wasn't any of your business, because you're bringing up subjects that you just don't...
I will mention to you, Nicole, two words. Johnny Quest. He was a boy whose best friend was an Iraqi named Haji. Now, you can see the parallels.
You know, Nicole, I appreciate your call, and I have to say to you, Ms. Turner... You're trying to say that this is entirely motivated by psychological needs on the part of the president, out of familial, with a familial base.
I want to ask the young lady a question.
In a moment. Isn't it possible the president is acting as a politician, as a diplomat, as a strategist, and as a tactician in trying to help our country following one of the most devastating attacks any country could suffer in one single day?
I want to know if you find, Nicole, if you find a woman's body attractive.
What does that have to do with the president and what we're discussing?
No, but you won't answer my question.
Because I think you're absolutely crazy.
I just
crazy.
Got done.
Do you enjoy the WNBA?
I think you're
right.
ridiculous.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
Sorry.
Forget you. You know, I just said a whole long thing, and you don't want to pay any attention to me.
I can't believe that you're supposed to represent a woman with common sense.
If you come to our rally, Washington, D.C.
I would never go to a rally. I attend college right now.
Are you in the closet?
Huh?
Are you in the closet?
No, but I can't.
Look, at why all of a sudden are you bringing your lesbian thing into this?
Yeah.
Are you homophobic?
No.
All right.
But that has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to stoop to your level to answer the
I'm going to give you, Nicole, I'll give you the last word, Nicole. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
I can't believe it. I am ashamed of an American to show that that's women's common sense because I attend college right now and I keep up on things and I know more about that lady could know in a lifetime.
And you've never been to the girl bar or explored?
All right, thank you. Let me go here to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing today?
Good.
I just wanted to start off by saying I am a lesbian who, just so you don't have to throw up age, who's 28 years old, so I don't have any type of menopausal problem. President Bush is doing what he needs to do. In my opinion, the whole damn Middle East should just be bombed. This needs to be taken care of.
That's not the way women think. As women, you know, we represent a more mitigated emotional view, and I think we also represent more of an attitude toward peace.
And I agree with that. Peace
all right.
has to be protected at all costs possible, period. And that is what he's doing. Peace just doesn't come easily. Japan
Did you ever see The Turning Point with
Shirley
MacLaine?
I have been weaned on television.
Okay. Do you remember where the son is ashamed of his father for sleeping with that slut?
Yes, I do remember
right.
that. I think you're looking too
Did
much.
Did you go to the dinosaur this year because... You're a little angry and you want to fight, and I think that's what happens when you go to the dinosaur. I don't go anymore.
I don't go to dinosaur either.
You don't go to the dinosaur because every one of those bull dykes that go to that thing wind up wanting to have a fight with someone.
Well, come on. Can we get off of golf?
Yeah, I have to completely agree with that. I hate golf.
Well, you don't have to like golf to love the dinosaur because
I don't like dinosaur either.
A group of us get a row of rooms over there on 111.
I mean, you have to...
We throw a football around.
Okay. Sharon, go ahead. So you believe that we need to get
we
tough
to
with
take
the rack.
Care
I agree with
business,
you.
Period.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
I need to ask you, Sharon, did you just lose your job at Rosie's Magazine?
No, actually not.
Yeah, okay. Sharon, thank you for your call.
Thanks.
So everything's just a little fun, and Daddy took your T-bird away.
I think, Phil, that when we meet, we're going to have there'll be fish and chips. At the Capitol Mall on Sunday. Margaret Cho is supposed to show up, but maybe she won't. I don't know. We'll have a lot of people there to speak on behalf of women with common sense and saying things, no war with Iraq. And, by the way, Phil, could I borrow your wife? Because
all right, thanks a lot. That's Deb Turner. She's with the Women for Common Sense in Foreign Policy. And she thinks this whole Iraqi campaign on the part of President Bush is because he and his father tag-teamed some chick one night. 1-800-449-8686. We'll come back to explain the Phil Henry Show in just a couple of minutes.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, that was me doing the voice of Deb Turner in that preceding bit. For those of you who know the show, you know I do the voices of different characters, and people call in and think they're real. That was me doing Deb Turner's voice there. She talked about President Bush tag-teaming with his dad. Hey, listen, if you want to see us do our show, you can do it. You can come to Las Vegas with us. You can watch us do our show. You can gamble. You can drink. You can go to the Raw Nightclub. You can go to the Luxor in Las Vegas. You can spend two nights with us. You can party with us. Would you like to do that, huh? You want to see us do one of the most groundbreaking radio shows in the history of mortal man on this planet? Call this number, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. It's the Luxor reservation line. 288-1000. 1-800-288-1000 is what I'm trying to say.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The problem that I've got is that Italians tend to show off during the Soprano season. They walk around. you know, being big shots, you know, gold chains and everything, trying to be big shots.
Well, you know, most Hispanics and African Americans walk around 90% of the time with gold chains, and many, many white people also. Does that mean they're trying to be big shots? I don't understand your point.
I'm saying
they're acting Italian.
Italians are always acting more Italian when The Sopranos is on, and The Sopranos.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? What nationality are you?
I come from Knoxville, Tennessee.
No, what nationality
are
you?
Nationality?
I'm an American.
You're
American. You have no background as far as nationality.
My background is German.
You're German. Okay. So now, would you be offended if you saw Hitler on TV? Would I have to go put a restraining order on you because I thought you were a Nazi?
No, because there's no Nazis.
Neo-Nazi does not exist anymore?
Okay, I would ask you this question, sir. Tell me one TV show that's about a weekly drama about Nazis.
What about Hogan's? What about Hogan's Heroes?
That wasn't about Nazis. That was about Americans who was messing with Nazis. That made Nazis look bad.
But Nazis made themselves look bad, sir.
Well, there's no TV show on that says, you know, at the Hitler family, and he goes out every day and burns a Jew and comes back and cooks breakfast. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Well,
what you're saying makes no sense to me. I mean, I'm sorry, but like seriously, you sound like.
I don't know
if you've been drinking tonight or something, or you got spooked by something, but I mean...
I got frightened very deeply by a neighbor of mine who is Italian-American after I'd seen the Sopranos movie on Sunday night.
Well, let me tell you something, sir.
He's making sausage and everything. What am I supposed to do with that?
Because he's making sausage, you should be afraid.
No, sir. Well, what I'm saying...
He came into the guy's house and he was stuffing peppers with pork sauce. Is that right?
Okay, you laugh. Go ahead and laugh. My wife laughed at me. My neighbors laughed at me.
Well, there's a reason why they laughed at you. It's because...
I
got to tell you this other thing. I thought it was kind of offensive for you to say that the Italian kids look really scary when they're handling money.
But you should see Italian children when they're playing Monopoly.
They're playing Monopoly.
Yes, sir. It's a whole other...
I ate spaghetti and meatballs yesterday. I didn't go out and kill anyone.
That's not what I would call Italian because
I am Italian, sir.
I know.
I am Italian.
Do you eat veal? Do you eat veal with marinara sauce or things like that? That's when you get into more of an Italian way of acting. Also,
I do eat that, sir. You can go into any Italian restaurant and that does not make you a mafia.
What about
mafia?
Life Beater t-shirts and everything?
You know where I went on Saturday night, last Saturday night? We were in Little Italy in New York. We were having dinner. We had a wonderful time. All of the restaurants were fantastic.
Because you're a tourist.
I'm sorry?
Because you're a tourist.
Oh, so I see. So they marked me for a tourist, and they treated me real good.
Tell me if you were just a regular guy that they wouldn't try to whack you or something like that.
So let me ask you a question. You know, okay, you want to put a restraining order against your neighbors. Now, say they are mafia. Do you think that's a smart idea to put a restraining order against your mafia neighbors?
They won't be able to come near me.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
+1 800 449 8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
G. Gordon Liddy, by the way, made the list. I think it's Talkers Magazine that has a list of the top 25 talk show hosts in America, and he made number 25. And they're all everybody on the list is very good. I'm not on it. No comment. I'm not on it. That's fine. But they did have G. Gordon Liddy on it, and now, I don't care whether I'm on the list or not, but I got to throw the flag on that one because isn't this the same guy that read off a list of Steve Bozell lawsuits, who's a made-up character on my show, and thought they were real? This cat's like the 25th greatest talk show host. Maybe that's why he's number 25. He could have been number one. But he read off a list of Steve Bozell lawsuits on his show, and the producer that handed those lawsuits to him and said, "Here, Gordon, read these." Do you think that person's still employed today? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I suppose there's a little bit of bitterness there. I suppose there's a bitterness that I wasn't named one of the top 25 talk show hosts in America. But there's a lot of guys that aren't on that list, a lot of guys that actually are worse than me, so I suppose that doesn't give me any comfort. I don't really know where I want to go with that. It's just a thought. I wanted to say something spiteful and hateful and a bit... sharp and vituperative so that I could feel better. G. Gordon Liddy, number 25 on that list, read off Steve Bozell lawsuits, you got to feel pretty stupid if you work for Talkers. All right. I'm kidding, guys. Mike Harrison's a tremendous, tremendous influence on me. He almost got me a job in Akron, Ohio once. I almost went to work for WAKR in Akron thanks to Mike Harrison at Talkers. He told me to get with a guy there, and I called a guy, and I went over there, and I said, this is a great gig. I couldn't see myself moving to Akron, Ohio for a number of reasons. Not because I don't like Ohio, but I was living in California near the beach, so why do I want to go, you know, a parallel move to a market the same size in Ohio and all there is? And I remember sitting in the hotel there in Akron. And the station was WAKR, which is a very fine radio station in Akron. And I went there, and I interviewed, and then they had me, they put me up at the Holiday Inn in Akron. And, see, when you say Holiday Inn in Akron, already Janice Ungaro, my producer, is in there going, she's snickering. All I said was Holiday Inn in Akron, and you're like, so I'm at the Holiday Inn in Akron, and I'm like on a main thoroughfare or something. So I said, well, I think I'd like to go have a drink. And, well, the only place to go is the bar at the Holiday Inn there in Akron. So I went down and got to talking to the barmaid. And what I was impressed with was how much she really dug her city, what she really liked Akron. And I said, well, what is there to do here? Oh, we have the river and the lake. Everybody goes down to the lake. Oh, it's great. And the Polymer Institute, and the I'm the kind of guy that I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and I'm like, Dad, I could get with that. That's great. Don't they make tires? No, we don't make tires in Akron anymore. We have the Polymer Institute. Well, what is that? That's where they are looking at new ways of creating synthetic fibers, and you make tires out of that. And well, okay. And then the next day I took a drive through Akron, and there's the University of Akron, which is a noted school, and also the Akron Beacon Journal, which is a major newspaper. So I had myself sort of psyched. I had myself, you know, this is cool. And it's also only like 40 miles down the road from Cleveland. And the station had a really good signal. So I thought I could go to work for this radio station and they might hear me in Cleveland, and maybe I can get bumped up to Cleveland where there's like three or four talk stations. So I come back to California to my little gig in Ventura, and I'm ready to go. I'm going to give my notice, and I walk there into the owner's office, and I sit down and say, yes, sir, I'm going to resign my position here, sir. I want to give you a month's notice. And, oh, yeah, where are you going? A gig in Akron. What station? WAKR. So he pulls out his little book and looks it up. He goes, no, you don't want to go there, man. You're not going to go. Well, sure I do. I'm going to go. You can't tell me I can't. I quit, and I'm going. No, you're not, because it's 138th Market. This is, you know, more bread here. What do you want, bread? Is that what it's about, bread? I told you I'm quitting, and you can't tell me that I can't. And no, we'll give you a raise. Okay. And that was how firm I was about going to Akron. And I had to call this cat back and say I didn't really want the gig after I said I wanted the gig. One of the toughest things in the world to do is not so much. Well, getting fired is bad. But an equally difficult experience in many ways is telling someone who you accepted a job from that you no longer want the job. That's tough. And a lot of people have done it. A lot of people have been foolish enough to say, oh, my God, yeah, I want the gig. Same thing happened up in Seattle. A guy brought me up there. He's going to pay me 50 G's a year. 50 G's a year. I was making nothing up in Ventura. 50 grand. And I said, oh, my God, this will solve so many problems that I have. I get so many money problems. I go up to Seattle. I work at the station. It's a talk station. And I got to thinking about it. And I said, if I go up there, I'm probably going to get fired within 6 months. Will it be worth it? No. So I stayed down here for like half the bread. And my girlfriend said, are you out of your mind? I said, you don't understand. I didn't get a good feeling from this guy. What feeling do you need? What did you want him to feel your... What did you need? I said, I don't think he had it, you know, so I'm sorry, honey. Well, we broke up. I'm starting the show with a lot of personal... Why am I doing this? It's a lot of personal stuff. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I guess I have a lot of personal things to tell you, but let me inject this little news note. There were two women on the front page of my newspaper this morning. I don't know about the rest of you, but I saw them, and they were holding up a sign behind Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld that said, no UN inspections, UN inspections, and they were chanting, UN inspections, no war, UN inspections, no war. And I saw that, and I thought, it's sensible But what are they going to be saying, like, a year from now, when the UN inspections have, like, commenced, and they didn't find anything, and then they hear about more Kurds getting gassed or something? And do they really mean that, UN inspections, UN inspections, when you could go over there and hide whatever they have under a dipsy dumpster? You could stick it underground. You can, just the stuff we were talking about yesterday. And how foolish do you feel when you stand up there with a sign that says, UN inspections, UN inspections, no war, UN inspections. All right, we'll go in and we'll inspect. We said we were, we said we'd back it up, we'll do it. Bush will do it. They'll go in, they'll inspect, everybody will feel fantastic about it. They'll, you know, brush up that shiny blue helmet that the UN wears. They'll go in, they'll look, they won't find anything, they'll come out of there, and then they'll see, like, a, you know, the next aerial flight, a pile of about 8,000 Kurdish bodies gassed. Then what? Let's get back to my personal problems with money. I was telling my daughter this morning, Rick Dees is an honest man, honey. Rick Dees is an honest man. You can't call the million-dollar contest on the Rick Dees show hoping to win the $1 million if it's not really your birthday.
I can tell him it is.
He's going to want a birth certificate.
Okay.
So I drop my daughter off at her school. I'm listening to Rick Dees as I'm driving home, and I suddenly hear him say, and the birthday month is October, which is my daughter's birthday month. Now I feel like an ass, because I told her I didn't have a phone, she couldn't call in, forget it, there's no shot, you're going to win the $1 million. And the next thing I know, he's called out my daughter's month, which is October, right? So I'm so, oh God, Catherine, I'm sorry, and we'll take the 10th caller, and if it's your birthday, and then I realize that I'm an employee of Clear Channel, and so is Rick Dees, so I would be ineligible to win, as well as other members of my family, and I felt better. And one of these days, I'm going to have to tell my kids that, which I have not told them. Yeah, man, we could win $1 million for the Rick Dees show. No, you can't. Why not? I'm an employee of Clear Channel, and so is he. I can't, Well, what's that supposed to be? You can't win. None of you. You're all ineligible for any cool contest he ever has. Now aren't you glad your mother married me? Now aren't you glad you got me as a stepdad, huh? Isn't that great? Huh? Your stepdad's an employee of Clear Channel, which means you will never, ever, ever win anything on the Rick Dees show. Okay? Spit flying out of my mouth. So that's why I make this public appeal now to you, Rick. If you're listening, I would appreciate a little something in the envelope, a little couple of tens, you know. I mean, that, come on, man. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, get a load of this. You're going to love this. The Germans are saying that Bush is acting like Hitler. Well, is that right? President Bush's spokesman on Thursday expressed outrage that Germany's justice minister drew a link between Bush's saber rattling on Iraq to the tactics used by Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler. The regional newspaper quoted some rag in Germany, quoted German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder's justice minister, some cat named Gremlin or something, Herta Gremlin, as saying Bush wants to divert attention from his domestic policies. It's a classic tactic. It's one that Hitler used. May I say this with the greatest of respect to our German friends, because I understand that it's quite a fun place to visit and enjoy oneself. Why don't you cats wait another 50, 60, 100 years before you start spewing the name Hitler for whatever reason? I don't care what the reason is. Maybe you don't like him. Maybe you love him. I've said it before on many occasions that the wall that went up in Germany shouldn't have been down the middle of the city of Berlin. It should have been around the whole country. You guys have caused enough problems. Just shut up. Take your seat there in the United Nations. Rubber stamp everything. Go along. Just because of the Holocaust alone, you ought to go along with every single thing that we want for the next 100 years. Then you can open your big bazoo. And for you to say something about Hitler, no matter what the context, well, it's hypocrisy, but that word is too mild. It's unreal. Unreal that you compare President Bush, and he ain't my favorite president, but I think the guy is the president, and so I like to back him up whenever he needs backing up, especially in the fight that we're in right now. But to compare Bush to Hitler is one of the dumbest, most ill-thought, most overstated, most hysterical things I've ever heard in my life. Not that anybody would disagree with me, but I'd like to go one better. I'd like to take the whole German presence in the world and mute it a little bit. Like the little kid that has to stand in the corner. Just you stand in the corner, and when we want you, we'll tap you on the shoulder, and you turn around, and you'll vote on the things that we want you to vote on. And then you go back, and you shut up. For the things you put this world through, for the horror you put this world through over the last century, you just turn around and shut up, and when we want you, we'll call for you. Because it's not over. I realize it's like 55, 57 years since the war ended. Not long enough. No, we need a few more. See, what's going on right now is everybody is whipping out all the stale lines about America saber-rattling, America Hitler, America Nazis. You know, the Israelis are trying desperately to keep their country afloat, to actually trying to help their country survive, and they've been compared to Nazis. This is the new tack. The Israelis are Nazis. The only reason why the country exists is because of the Nazis. You understand? The only reason why we have an Israel today, truly, is because of the Holocaust. Yeah, I'm sure they got together with the World Jewish Congress and said, well, you know, in 1897, we want a homeland, and I'm sure that somewhere along the line that they would continue the discussions. But the reason why the United Nations even approved the existence of Israel in the manner and in the timing that they did was because of World War II. And now they're being compared to Nazis when they're trying desperately to hold on to the very existence of their country against the true Nazis of this world, the real Nazis of this world, the Nazis that have replaced the old Nazis, and that is the Arab militants of the Middle East, the new Arab militants of the Middle East and the Arab militant governments of the Middle East, the new Nazis. Nothing, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts. The Saudis, the Syrians, the Iraqis, you know the cast of characters. It hasn't changed. I realize that everybody's free to say what they want to say. I got nothing against anybody saying what they want to say, but I'm saying what I want to say. When we want to hear from Germany about Hitler, we'll call you up. Now we got an artist in Britain by the name of Damien Hirst. He's apologized unreservedly for suggesting that the 11 September hijackers had created a visually stunning work of art. Hirst, whose own artworks have caused controversy in the past, made his remarks in the run-up to the anniversary of the attacks. He told the BBC, "You gotta hand it to them on some level," he said of the attackers, "because they've achieved something which nobody would have thought possible, especially to a country as big as America. So on one level, they need congratulating, which is a lot which a lot of people shy away from, which is a very dangerous thing. So why would you shy away from it now there? What's your name, Damien? Why are you shying away from it?" He's now issued a statement through his company, Science Limited, apologizing for his remarks and saying that he's not a supporter of terrorism. "Concerning the statements I made about the atrocities committed by terrorists, I feel it's important to make my feelings clear. As a human being and an artist living in the civilized world, I value human life above all else and abhor all acts of terror and murder. I apologize unreservedly for any upset which I may have caused. I in no way condone terrorism of any kind. I deeply regret it." Yada, yada, yada. Wait a second. You just said it was a nice work of art. Now what are you saying? I just heard you say that it was the guy's name is Damien Hirst. He said that it was a great, stunning work of art. Now the guy's going back on it. I feel like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. "Didn't I just hear you say that you thought it was a stunning work of art? Didn't I hear you say that?" Now you're going back on it? Why? You afraid somebody's going to blow up your office building? Maybe somebody fly an airplane into your Science Limited? We hear these things as Americans. We've been hearing them for years. We've seen our flag turned into a garbage can. We've seen our flag set fire to. Although I did see a fantastic photograph. I don't know if any of you saw it. It was some slime ball over in the Middle East, some ass with a towel on his head. The guy set fire to the American flag and at the same time set fire to himself. Did you ever see that? Oh, it was beautiful. This guy is like in flames, running around like a dumbass. We have seen our flag turned into a garbage can. We've seen our citizens paraded around with blindfolds on, hijacked, everything. So this is nothing new, right? But there's a whole difference now in the way that we respond to these things. Because in the past we've been told, well, you know you deserved it. You know that your policies, you know that your foreign policy, you know that your intrigues, you know that your coups, you know that your CIA, you know that your FBI. Yeah, we understand all of that, and we will do everything that we can to make sure that we don't make these mistakes. That doesn't give you the excuse to commit wholesale murder, doesn't give you the excuse to hijack, to hold hostage, or anything else. Doesn't mean that we're going to sit here with a thumb up our rear end going, oh, well, I guess we deserve it. No, we're going to do something about it, and we're going to get pissed every time some crowd opens his mouth about Hitler and Bush and some limey who thinks he's being cute because they got such a dry sense of humor over there about 9/11 being a work of art. Hey, you can say whatever you want, man. Guess what? We're going to say a few things back. Like, where's your office there? Science Limited, man. I got a nice big 767 I'd like to fly into it. Because it's art. Dig that. I bet you if somebody flew a big-ass plane into Big Ben, that'd be a hell of a piece of art. Only problem is there will be no more hijackings. We're sorry to inform you there will be no more hijackings because the hijacking of September the 11th, those four planes, effectively put an end to any more hijackings in the world forever. And you know the reason. The reason is simply this. Any dumbass try to hijack a plane now, you're going to have to assume he's going to use it as a suicide missile. Everybody in the cabin is going to have that guy for lunch. So if there's any good that came out of 9/11, you don't have to worry about any plane ever again getting hijacked. Ever again. And in many ways, it makes sort of the discussion about airport security moot. Guy comes on with a gun. One guy with a gun? One guy with a bomb? You got to kill us anyway. You're going to fly this thing? No, I swear to God, I'm not. I just want to hijack it. No, I don't believe you. Please sit down. Will you please sit down? I only want to hijack it and land it and get... No. We're going to take you out, baby. It's the way it is here in America. It was a different world then. It's a new world now. 1-800-449-8686. You got a problem with what I just said? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
There's a cat in Yahoo News. This guy's a Muslim dude or sorry. He's just found a tablecloth and stuck it on his head. I don't know which. And he's sitting on he's outside the federal courthouse in Buffalo, New York on September the 18th. Is that yesterday? It was, yeah, yesterday, and he sat to show his support for the six local suspected Al-Qaeda supporters who appeared inside the court, and he's flipping both fingers to the press, which if you're familiar with this country, you know that when you do that, you're liable to get your ass beat. You know, seriously. I mean, I'm not joking. It's happened to me. I won't go into it. Let me just say that before I learned what that meant, flipping the bird, I used to do it all the time, and I almost got my ass beat a few times. People will pull you over and beat your ass if you flip the bird to the wrong guy. It's as simple as that. And it was a discussion that I had to get into with my son, the second oldest, because he just learned how to stick the finger up in the air, right? And so he was flipping everybody. He thought it was fantastic. He was flipping off, like, crippled children, and he was flipping off old ladies. He was flipping off our next-door neighbor. Our next-door neighbor was driving up the street. He was, hey, up yours! You know, and he's flipping me off. He's flipping off cops. And my neighbor finally said, my neighbor came over and said, Phil?
Yeah.
Listen, no big thing, but your son flipped my wife off, and I just, who? Well, it was the, you know, he mentioned the name. I said, don't worry about it, man. I'll talk to him. He says, good. And I told him, I said, dude, you do that to the wrong person, he'll break it off and, as they say in the movies, bury it up your ass. Now, that's all there is to it. You know, everybody who's got a brain knows that you flip off the wrong person. So when you do that, make sure that you're heavily armed, man, that you know either how to run really fast or you can throw your hands in a fairly proficient manner. But you got to know how to do one of the two. You got to either be able to kick ass or run real fast. The guy here with the rag on his head flipping off the press on the grounds there of the federal courthouse, given what this country's been through, trying not to profile. Trying not to profile. You notice that we don't have any concentration camps set up for Arab Americans or Arabs. We learned that lesson the hard way with Japanese Americans and Japanese interned in World War II. We don't have that now. We're wrestling with what do we do then? How do we identify a potential enemy and at the same time not put undue hardship on a law-abiding citizen? How do we recognize someone who means us harm, and how do we recognize someone who is an innocent? How do we do it? And we're wrestling with this every day. We've tried to make this an issue not just about being Arab, but about being an Arab from a terrorist-sponsoring country. We've tried to make it about not just being an Arab from a terrorist-sponsoring country, but being male and having a certain age limitation. We've tried a lot of things. That's what a good country does. That's what a great society does. We're trying to be fair. Desperately, we work on these things. Because as Americans, we want to do the right thing. It just happens to be the way we are. Now I see this guy sitting on the courthouse steps there flipping a bird, and I don't want to be fair anymore. I want to come up with a nice taekwondo-style roundhouse kick and knock that freaking towel off his head. But that's just me. And, of course, it makes life so much easier for all the other Arabs and Arab Americans when you got a guy like that flipping the bird, not once but twice, sitting on the steps there of the federal courthouse with what looks to me like his sister's head thing, man. I think, he, you know, his is in the laundry, he borrowed his wife's. Because he's not a Muslim, is he? And he doesn't have contempt for America, does he? No, he's just flipping a couple of birds at the guys that are taking his picture. And he's showing his support, by the way, for suspected Al-Qaeda. Or maybe the guy is just tired of Arabs being hassled, and so that's what he's saying. Now, the defense lawyers for two of the six men accused of being members of an Al-Qaeda-trained sleeper cell in upstate New York said on Thursday their clients should be released on bail because they pose no threat to the community. Even though they found $6,000 in the sports jacket of one of these guys, they did find weapons, and these guys said that they were poor, they didn't have enough money, and et cetera, et cetera. They're no threat. The lawyer for Sahim A. Alwan and Yahya Goba said the men posed no threat, and if freed, will return to the court whenever ordered and accept any condition the court places on them. The attorney said hundreds of thousands of dollars in real estate and other assets have been collected for whatever bond the court set. Lawyers representing the six men have made a separate motion to dismiss the case against their client for lack of probable cause. Though a notice made available to the press on Thursday, the lawyers argue that a warrant for the arrest of a defendant may not issue unless it appears from the complaint. Well, I don't know what this crap means, but in any event, they say that they got the wrong guys. Well, would you mind if we kind of go through the investigative process before we make up our minds on that one? Or would you like us to just set these guys free so they can get the next slow freighter to China? You must think that we're out of our mind. You must think that we're dumber than we look. I realize you pulled off quite a stunt there on September the 11th, but please don't think we're so stupid that in the middle of a war that took the lives of 3,000 of us and takes on, let's not forget Daniel Pearl. Let's not forget it wasn't just 3,000 people in New York, Washington, and on those airplanes in New York and Washington and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Let's remember it was an American citizen who had his throat cut and his head severed and held up like a lantern for all to see on a website. Or maybe what you think we're dealing with here are a bunch of civilized people. Is that it? You'll pardon me if I don't agree, and if I don't mind, we keep these guys in a jail cell for at least the 72 hours or whatever, and maybe they've gone past the 72 hours and they do have probable cause. We're going to put these guys on trial and find out what they're all about, all right? You'll pardon me. I happen to like living here. I don't want to see anybody else pull anything. If it's all the same to you. All right, screw it, man. I ain't going to talk any more about this stuff because it's giving me an ulcer. But I am going to talk about something called Only in the Movies. This is cool. These things happen all the time on the screen, but why don't they happen in our life? I have never bumped my head and gotten amnesia. I've never been stuck in an elevator with a woman I hated and by the end of the ordeal had sex with her. I've never found myself on top of a moving train. I'm just sorry, I just never have. I've never rushed to the airport to stop the woman I just realized I love from leaving as I got to the gate and I see her plane pulling away and then I feel empty because I think that my best chance at love now is gone, but as I turn away she's standing there because she decided at the last moment not to get on the plane because she realized that she loves me too and was hoping I would come to the airport to get her. That ain't never happened to me. Thank God. I have never collapsed onto my car horn. You know, it's one of my favorite scenes in every... I love that scene when the guy goes... But it's never happened to me. I've never closed my medicine cabinet door and seen someone in the mirror who wasn't there 3 seconds ago. I've never been... Oh, you have, Chris? Bull crap. I've never been locked in a bank vault or any other place with an ever-decreasing supply of oxygen with a woman I hated and by the end of our ordeal we're having sex. I never had a cream pie thrown in my face or fallen face first into a wedding cake when it's about to be served. This stuff happens in the movies. Never happened to me. I've never been talked through a life-saving operation by a doctor over the phone, and it also goes for delivering a baby, landing a flaming airplane, or defusing a bomb. I have never been invited to the boss's home for dinner, and upon meeting his family, learned that the woman I picked up at a bar and slept with the week before is his daughter. I have never poisoned someone's drink only to be put in the awkward position of having to drink it myself. And I have never said, this town isn't big enough for the both of us. I've never been told to be at a payphone at a designated time to receive instructions on where to drop cash. I've never had two dates for the prom. And I've never put a handkerchief over the phone to disguise my voice. I never oversaw or ever... Wait a second, what's that say? I never ever saw... I never had a woman tell me, make yourself at home while I slip into something more comfortable. What the Well, you know what I mean. And I've never been in a close struggle with someone and the gun we're wrestling with goes off, but neither one of us has any idea who's been shot until we step away and he takes one step toward me and then falls down dead. I'm sure the gun goes off and you don't know which guy's been shot. I never left the water on in the bathroom sink long enough to flood the whole house. These are scenes from movies that obviously don't happen to us. But they happen a lot in the movies. I've never been stuck in an elevator. I've never been stuck in an elevator with a pregnant woman. I've never picked a lock with a credit card. Well, yes, I have, personally. I have this. That's the one that I have done. I've picked a lock with a credit card. I've never said, don't do it, man. Just give me the gun. Well, yes, I have. I've done that, too. All right, so I've done two things on this list. I've never been to a wedding where someone stood up and objected. Well, yes, I did. I was at my wedding. Someone stood up and objected. My wife's father. All right, so now I'm getting into ones that have happened to me. I've never ripped the phone cord out of the wall, either out of frustration or as part of a burglary. Yes, I have. When I burglarized a home when I was a kid, and I had the lady tied up, and I pulled the phone cord out of the wall. And she was an elderly woman that I tied into a wheelchair with an electrical cord, so that's another thing that I did. Here's what says, I've never heard a surly bartender answer my prying question with, who wants to know? And yes, I have heard that too. So see, now we're getting the ones that have happened to me, and they're in the movies. I've never been yelling something inappropriate just as the music in the room shuts off. Yep, that happened to me too. All right. Well, some of them have happened to me and some haven't. By the way, that entire list is from Men's Health Magazine. Kind of cute. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We got Dean Wheeler from yesterday's show. He talks about if you overly grieved 9/11, maybe you were abused as a child. Pretty bizarre crap coming up on our flashback. Here is Janine. Janine?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, you had your list there of things that never happened, and it made me think of something I wanted to share with you.
By the way, I took your call, Janine, because it's the only one that I have. So
okay.
Right ahead.
I actually had my entire
house
flooded.
Otherwise, if I had other calls, I wouldn't have taken it. Now, okay. Go ahead. So what happened?
I actually had my entire house clogged. The drain was clogged in my sink and from hair when brushing my hair over it, and actually flooded the whole house. I was living on the third floor of an apartment. And thank God I knew my first floor neighbors, because I actually went to go knock to say hi to him. And next thing I hear water gushing, he's coming home from work. And I said, don't go in there yet. And next thing I know is I thought I had pushed the water outside and set it feet through the floor, came gushing through his kitchen and the ceiling. And it was quite a disaster.
For you, for hair like that to clog a set, what are you, a Wookiee? You have, were you shaving your underarms too? No. See, here's the thing. That's wild, man. How long did you have the water running before it...
Well, it was just dripping a bit. I mean, it was a small drip, and I was working overseas, and the hours I was doing those was like 11 o'clock at night or something crazy.
A small drip, and the next thing you know, the guy like three floors below is flooded out, huh?
It was crazy. And, you know, and I wonder if it happened before, because he had a pair of boots, because these were... They provided apartments for us, and it was inside his closet, and I was thinking... You know, I wonder if this has happened before.
So. Well, actually, that flooded thing, a friend of mine got home from vacation, and this poor, oh, God, dig this. This guy came home and found, like, you know, like 10 inches of water in his whole house because some kind of a water main or something had broken in his house. So everything, carpeting, furniture, everything destroyed, ruined, repaint the house, everything totally out. My very good friend, Chris Ben Pelton, who does our screening on the show, was moving a girlfriend's furniture, and they were in a truck, and they were moving along the freeway, and he turned around and looked and saw that some of her effects were about ready to blow out of the truck. So at like 80 miles an hour, he crawled out the window of the truck and crawled into the bed of the truck to pin this stuff down, right?
Oh, my God.
Of course, we asked him, why didn't you just pull the truck over and stop? And he said, I don't know.
That's great. Yeah,
listen,
no,
Janine, for telling us that story, you get the family pack to the fair and a gift certificate to Arby's for your contribution to the show today. I'm just kidding.
No. Oh, darn it. Okay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I have got a couple comments for this so-called psychologist. Number one, with people like that in practice, we don't need them.
Well,
they are the type that put the dadburn ideas into these children's head when there's been no such sexual abuse.
I have a degree.
I don't give a squat what kind of degree you got. You probably don't have any children, and you don't know what in the blazes you're talking about.
Well, my career always came first. My wife and I studied in Tahiti. We studied a lot of the primitive cultures.
Studying in the good U.S. of A. and try to dab and relate to some normal people instead of all these other cultures?
Sharon, I can tell your hostility is rooted in something, and what is that?
My hostility is rooted in stupid, ignorant people like you that hide behind their degree to torment people that actually are looking for help, and you plant idiotic ideas in their dab-burn brains.
Well, I said that... Were you sad on 9/11?
Yes.
All right, were you
abused? No, I was sexually abused.
Wait a second.
Child, right?
You're not going to say that everybody who felt sad...
No, not everyone who felt sad. But Sharon has now displaced her sadness from 9/11 into an angry paradigm, and it becomes more evident to me that somewhere along the line, an uncle, a grandfather, in her part of the world, it was probably a brother.
Okay, now you're beginning to get insulting as to subcultural texture and everything else. The lady called up and made a very good point, that it's guys like you that are sticking bad ideas into people's heads.
Gee, I don't have a brother. See how intelligent he is? Automatically, any child that has a sibling, whether it male or female, if they show any compassion for 9/11 or anybody,
I didn't say any compassion. I said if you were overdoing it. If you were overdoing it.
Yeah, waving a flag.
It was a major catastrophe that happened to the United States. In the name of heaven can you overdo that?
When I was in Japan studying feng shui at Kawasaki University, I found many levels of the shui. And what we mean by shui, Sharon, is a color modality. All right? Are you with me? Are you staying with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Sharon. You're very angry. I can tell.
People like you just disgust me. I'm sorry. I don't have a college degree because my dad burned school.
Oh, you're anti-
I mean, for Pete's sake, give us a break. We do have common sense out here.
You're anti-intellectual. I can see where your hostility is. Are you angry?
Oh, no, honey. I'm not anti-intellectual. I went to school after I raised my kids and carried a 4.0 and a 3.5 in criminal law. Don't give me that I'm under intellectual bullshit.
Now, Adler tells us that when the mother finally breaks the symbiosis, we become angry.
Ted, why don't you speak English so people know what the hell you're talking about?
I'm saying that when your mother disassociated herself from you, when you were no longer being breastfed, for instance, and you began to separate, did you feel, and I will ask the question, and you'll get angry, but I have to ask the question, was there any rectal burning?
Here you go again with that.
Does rectal burning have to do with being breastfed? Number one, I wasn't breastfed
You were repeatedly Do you ever remember having to swallow anything like a cucumber?
Would you stop asking people these questions?
That is so gross. See what I'm telling you,
Phil? I know what you're saying. All right,
Sharon. He doesn't need to be in practice.
Absolutely.
He is totally off the damn wall, and I feel sorry for his patients.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Dean Wheeler in that bit. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Back in a few minutes.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, look, go ahead.
Yes, what I told you was that my wife became incontinent on a trip to Portland, Oregon. And we were there, we're going to visit our daughter. She ruined two brand new seat covers. And what I was telling you, Phil, is she'd always been able to control her bladder through all the way through at least to Cloverdale in Northern California. And never once, and I want to say this to every single man listening who has a wife constantly bothering him about pulling over so she can use the toilet. My wife never once asked me to stop, and I was proud of her for that. We made good time. We got better gas mileage by not stopping all of these times. And this time, she asked me to pull over, and I was absolutely stunned.
You're saying that when you guys travel to Portland to visit your daughter, you can go 400-some miles, I mean, between L.A. and Cloverdale, California, is what?
That's 441 miles. That's a 7 to 8 hour trip what we have is in Winnebago.
At 8 hours, your wife is not going to the bathroom.
No, because she won't go to the bathroom because we make better time. We don't stop and fool around at a gas station. We don't stop and fool around. We get right, we blow right through it. I've got fuel tanks on the side of the RV. Now, what has happened since 9/11 is that I think we've all become a little too touchy-feely. And as a consequence of this, my wife, who I've always been proud of, felt like she could ask me to stop at a toilet. And, mister, I've been married 40-some years, and I never had my wife say, "Will you pull over? I need to use the toilet." I was always very proud of her.
Why are you emotional about this?
Because I feel like I've lost a good friend. She's now very, with this post-9/11, everybody thinks they can say, "Well, I need, and I need to use the toilet." And as a result, she couldn't hold it. And I've got the price right here, Phil, on the car, on the seat covers. These are $125 bucket seat covers. These are the Regal seat covers. They come in blue. You could get the burgundy, but I got the blue. And these are made from a very strong cloth material. It's about 3-inch foam backing.
All right. The reason your wife, which is an extremely embarrassing thing, an extremely horrible thing for anybody to go through, you wouldn't stop to let her use the toilet.
you know, you're going to make this about me, and that's not going to work. And I told the doctor the same thing.
What doctor?
This marriage counselor that they recommended we go see. And I told him, don't you dare make this about me. I'm a Korean War veteran, and don't mad dog me. And you never mad dog a junkyard dog, let me tell you that. Don't eyeball me. And this guy eyeballed me through the whole session. And I could tell you right now, I said, don't make it about me.
You went to a marriage counselor who said that you were what?
He said that it was my fault that my wife wet her pants in the car because I wouldn't stop. And I told this guy, she has always held it through to Cloverdale. Now, we can leave Los Angeles about 7 o'clock in the morning. She'll hold it through to Cloverdale around 5 o'clock. And we've been making this trip to Portland for 17 years, and I want to underline that, 17 years, and not once did she use to ask to use the facilities until this 9/11 deal come along. Now everything's in a touchy-feely. And this marriage counselor who eyeballed me all through this session...
Well, marriage counselors are going to do that, okay? They're going to stare at you because they want to know how you're feeling and how you're taking things.
Well, I told him, you never eyeball a junkyard dog and you never eyeball a Korean War veteran.
Sir, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Your wife was in distress. She needed to use the toilet. She had to wet herself and she ruined your bucket seat covers. And I think that's for someone that you love to put them through that.
It's because I love her that I wanted her to hold it and not be like every other woman. Because my wife, Gladys, who I love very much, has always been stronger than all the rest of these women that ask their husbands to pull over so they can squat over a toilet and waste nothing but time, burn up gas efficiency. You ought to get into Cloverdale at 5 o'clock, and this is going to burn up time. I was always proud of Gladys that she never had to use the toilet until Cloverdale.
Which, is that like a halfway point?
That's the point that we get out and we use the toilet and we get something to eat on our way to Portland. When you go on, let me tell you something. When you go on a road trip, you stay on the GD road.
1-800-449-8686. Hold the line there, Lloyd, for just a moment. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is a retired gentleman. He and his wife take a trip to Portland a couple, three times a year, sir. Couple, three times a year, you go to Portland?
Couple, three times. We're supposed to go Thanksgiving, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Why? Because she wet the...
Well, I can't have her in the car. No, sir.
All right. Well, they go to Portland, Oregon to visit their daughter a couple, three times a year. And apparently she asked to use the toilet. He wouldn't let her use the toilet. And as a result, she had she went in the car. And you seem more concerned with your seat covers.
No, I'm concerned with my wife who never, ever before that. Let me explain. Most women couldn't hold a thimble full of water, let alone hold it for 8 hours. But my wife was always able to hold it. And I never heard about all these, I've always heard about these whiny women who ask their husbands to pull over, and I never thought in a million years that my Gladys would turn into one of them. But this 9/11 deal now, everybody...
You keep bringing up 9/11, too, which I find interesting. What about 9/11?
Well, I think what it did is it made everybody soft. Now everybody wants to use the toilet and on the road.
Using the toilet's a normal thing.
Not when we take a road trip. I don't let my wife out of the car to pee until we get to Cloverdale.
You never let your wife out of the road. Can you imagine the distress this poor woman was in?
Oh, don't give me the distress. Gladys and I have been married 47 years, and she has always been a trooper. So don't give me this pussy stuff about...
And I would appreciate not using that word.
Well, you're talking... Don't eyeball a junkyard dog, and you don't eyeball a Korean War veteran. Now, I can tell you...
Your wife, let's talk for a moment about the love that you have for a woman, that you would put her through such distress...
A woman can hold it just as long as a man.
Listen to me, that you would put her through such distress that this poor woman had to urinate in the car. My God, that's like something that African Americans had to go through in the deep south in the 50s and 60s, and probably still today in some areas, that they're not even allowed to use a toilet.
Mister, don't you ever compare my wife to somebody who's enslaved, all right?
Well, it sounds like it to me, sir. It's
you don't understand. We are retired people. We are on a fixed income. We cannot afford all the gas in the world, and we can't afford to stop off and use all these toilets. We have to get the maximum fuel economy. You've never been an old man. You're not on a fixed income.
So you're saying that you can't stop because it minimizes your fuel economy?
Yeah, stopping and starting, it minimizes the fuel economy. That's why I was always proud of Gladys, and I would look over at her and I'd say, we're on our way to Geyserville, or to Cloverdale, rather, and I know you don't have to urinate like most weak, weak women. But 9/11's changed everything now, and now she has to take a leak all the time. And I can tell you...
This is...
I can tell you, sir, I'm a Korean War veteran, and I had to put up with a lot worse.
Well, you might have put up with a lot worse. I appreciate your commitment to our country, but I don't think that has anything to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is the fact that a woman...
Yeah, it has everything to do with it, because if I could put up with some gook, some filthy communist gook, who one day, up near the wire at Chosun Reservoir, stuck a bayonet in my face, then my wife doesn't have to go to the bathroom.
All right, I didn't know the extent of the problem, okay? Hold on for a minute. This is a story that of a man who feels so sad that his wife can't hold it when she has to go to the bathroom that she peed all over the... She asked to stop and he wouldn't stop. She's never asked before. And apparently he wouldn't stop and she peed all over his seat covers. And he says that that's because of 9/11 she's gotten soft. I don't know. It scares me, man, to think about some husband treating his wife that way. But he says that most women can't hold it. His wife he was very, very proud of because she could. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think the man has a right to ask his wife to hold it all the way to the city? Does he have to pull over for her? When your wife asks you, pull over, I need to use the toilet, do you have to? Or do you have the right to ask her, hold it until we get to where we're going? And ladies, this question's for you, too. Do you bother your husbands about needing to use the toilet, or can you hold it? This man wouldn't pull over for his wife. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
And so she couldn't have used the bathroom in the trailer, you're saying?
No, sir, because it's a trailer.
Oh, all right. I thought you had an RV.
No, sir. I've got a Jayco. It's a travel trailer.
Well, and you don't want to pull over.
If I pull over, then I might as well go to a... See, this is the thing when I talk to a lot of these stupid talk show hosts, and I'm not saying you're one of them, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you.
But they don't understand. What I don't want to do is I don't want to ruin the gas mileage.
What kind of truck do you haul it with?
I got a Ford F-350 dually. I got the double V's on the back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane. We're going to take some calls from some people.
All right.
Jane, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to say to him that this is a physical abuse.
Oh, baloney.
Yes, it is.
No, ma'am.
Because I happen to know, and it is physical abuse. If you make her hold her water that long when she is older, it will cause her to have bladder problems.
I always called Gladys my little camel because she could hold it. And once she held it all the way to Grants Pass, because I switched tanks and told her I didn't need to stop for gas, my daughter was waiting dinner.
Well, sir, I believe something happened to you in the Korean War, because this is not
you
right.
You never eyeball a junkyard dog.
I don't care if you eyeball a junkyard dog or what. This is not right. Physically abusing your wife.
All right, then let me ask you something. Who pays for the seat covers? That's my only question.
Well, does your seat covers mean more to you than your wife's health?
Of course they don't, but they were $125 to cover the bucket seats.
Well, do you want to put your wife in the hospital when she's an old lady who can't control her water?
Well, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do.
I heard a doctor say that the more you
hold
it in
there... Well, I don't know what doctor you go to, but...
Well, the guy said you've strengthened the muscle.
Oh,
no. I'll tell you what happened in the war. I got the finest... You want to know what happened in the war?
Well, my brother was in the Korean War, sir.
I got some of the
finest... And he doesn't act like that.
What?
My brother was in the Korean War also.
Hold on for a minute. Lloyd, this is a lady. I'd like you to act like a gentleman.
What?
Talking about getting some of the finest you-know-what.
She asked me what I did in the Korean War.
No, I did not. I
you said,
not...
what happened to me in the Korean War? I said, I got some of the best poontang.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I think something's wrong with your brain.
You know something, Jane? Just because you can't hold it the way my wife can, you think everybody's got to just urinate all over seat covers.
No, you're going to cause her to have a medical problem.
No, because you strengthen the muscle the more you hold it.
You're more concerned about your gas mileage
and
your car seat than you are about your wife.
And the safety.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jane.
Okay.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And do you and your husband do a lot of the traveling?
We have an RV also.
Yes.
We have an RV also.
How long can you hold it?
Well, when I have to go, I go. He don't
tell work. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It makes
me sick. When I
have
to go, he doesn't open his mouth about it.
See,
because he respects me.
You girls,
you have no respect for your wife.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. A lot of these sickos up in North Beach, San Francisco, they like to pee on each other. And this is what I think it's sick and twisted. And
what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
How was you raised? You certainly don't have any manners.
Well, ma'am, I don't... Ma'am, I...
You have no respect for no woman.
Ma'am, I have ultimate respect for women. I fought in Korea to keep our country safe.
Well, and I appreciate that.
The inside of my truck urine-free.
My brother also fought in the Korean War, but he doesn't act like that with his wife.
Jane, let me tell you, I love my wife deeply, and one of the things that I admire and respect about her is she can hold that water all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon, from Los Angeles. Now, that's a trip of about 600 miles.
Well, it sounds to me like she's scared to death of you.
Yeah,
let
the woman out.
You probably treat her like you did, like you fought in the war.
Well, if you know so much about this, can you recommend a good brand of diaper? Because obviously...
There you go with the insults again, too.
Well, I'd thank her to keep her nose to herself.
Well, I think you need to put a diaper over your mouth.
I'll bet you dots for dollars you don't ask your husband to pull over because a man hates to pull over.
No, they don't. My husband will pull over for me anytime.
But
we have a walk-through RV, and I can walk through it and use the bathroom. What kind of RV do you have?
I've got a travel trailer, 2002 Jayco.
Well, I have a Jayco, too.
We hitch it up to the back of my Ford F-350.
Well,
you
can pull over.
Now, I got the dual beats on the back.
Oh, isn't that nice? Okay, I got all the information. Listen, Jane, thank you. You made some very good points.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Gloria. Gloria, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with Jane completely. This man
has
got a problem.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
I'm 69 years of age.
Your mental abuse to your wife.
I'm not mentally abusing my wife.
What do you call it if you won't stop and let her go to the bathroom when she needs to?
Let me ask you a question. Why'd she pee all over my seats?
Because you wouldn't stop and let her go, you idiot.
She was always able to hold it to Grants Pass or Geyserville.
Hey, as you get older, you don't have that ability much longer.
You know something, Gloria?
And you've been married 47 years, so your wife couldn't be too young.
First of all, you never eyeball a junkyard dog. I'm a Korean War veteran.
I don't care who you are.
I could drink
You have
six...
got no right treating your wife like that.
I
you
could
couldn't
drink six
her.
Pitchers of beer and hold it all the way to Grants Pass.
Well, that's
and,
not
oh,
your
come
wife,
on, man.
Is
that's,
it?
That's not comfortable. That's not
You're
your wife.
You're talking about
right.
you, not your wife.
Simmer down, Gloria. You got to pop something.
I'm sure I will if I keep talking to you.
Well, let me
you
see. The reason why
your wife.
My wife could hold it all the way to Grants Pass. One time she held it all the way to Dallas, Texas, and she didn't peep.
That's he's held it for 17 years. What the hell changed? I'll tell you what changed. 9/11 and all these whiny
women. Oh, 9/11, you got that
changed.
In your craw. It has nothing to do with it.
I'm telling you, as sure as God made green apples, 9/11 made my wife pee all over those seats.
No. What in the hell are you talking about?
You couldn't love your wife, you couldn't respect your wife, or you would have stopped.
Gloria, I gave my wife a beautiful daughter. And we raised that daughter in El Hebra,
what's
California.
What's that got to do with your wife peeing all over your seat?
That's right. That's what I'd like to know. I did everything.
Her bladder is getting old.
Yes, her bladder's getting old.
Right.
Well, if you do muscular exercises, it tightens up.
Oh, no. Not when you get older and you haven't the ability really to tighten it up.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Where have you lost your water? Go ahead. Tell me.
You, when have I lost my water?
Yes, ma'am. Out in the shopping mall?
You have
very
no right to ask her
to
that.
Very close to it. If I'm not close to a restroom when I have to go.
Do you use the diaper or any other kind of...
No, I don't.
I see.
But when I have to go,
all
I'm
right.
72
that,
years
you
old.
You don't have to
when
answer
I
that.
To
that's
go,
that's
I
fine,
go.
Mary. You don't have to answer that question.
Come on, I'm interested.
Never mind. Thank you very much, Gloria. 1-800-449-8686. This guy, Lloyd, wouldn't let his wife out of the car to go to the bathroom, and she wound up ruining his car seats. That seems to be what he's worried about. He said before 9/11, she could hold it all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry with the Korean vet Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead, Lloyd.
Phil, I want to tell you, every year my wife and I go for Thanksgiving to my daughter's, and we drive up there, but she's not driving with me. She could go urinate in someone else's car.
But if you let her get out of the car and go to the bathroom,
I don't want
to, you're so onto this. I don't want to lose any time between L.A. and Cloverdale, and I got to make Grants Pass. You guys that have these little timetables,
what you gonna say that we make you sick?
Yeah, you make me sick.
Now you listen to me, and you listen good. I told you already. You don't eyeball a junkyard dog.
Well, I'm not eyeballing yet.
You listen to me. I got that timetable and those schedules because I went through hell. Living, breathing, vibrating, pulsing, and throbbing hell. And I finally clawed my way out of the poverty and the war and made my home in California. And I work on a timetable because that's how you keep a home moving. And I raised a daughter, and I've got a granddaughter, by the way, who's got the same problem holding her water. And she pees in my car, and I'll kick the living hell out of her. I'll throw her out of the car.
And of course you're kidding.
I'm kidding, yes, but that's how I feel.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Sonia. You're on with Lloyd Bonafide on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Well, this is the first time I've ever called the talk show, but I was listening and just could not wait to tell
I can't hear the lady.
Okay.
Speak up, Sonia.
Can you hear me now?
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Can you hear me now?
I can't hear her.
Speak up a little louder.
Well, this man is an absolute idiot.
What?
This man is an absolute idiot.
All right, what? Okay, is that it?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. But I'll be GD damned that I'm going to lose time on the fifth on the I-5 because my wife's whining about needing to go and take a squirt.
You are the most disrespectful man I have ever heard to gauge a woman's worthiness by how long she can wait to go to the bathroom.
I call my wife the sprinkler now.
Well, I will tell you one thing.
Let me ask you. Let's get down to the nut cutting. How long could you hold it?
I don't think that is even material to my worth as a woman.
You ride with me, it is.
Well, I'm sure glad I don't ride with you. You are an absolute idiot, and on your wife's anniversary, we all need to send her a sympathy card.
You know what? You've called me an idiot, but you haven't said why. Not once have you said why.
Well, because you measure your wife's worth by how long she can wait to go to the bathroom, and that is the most ridiculous thing
I... You ask any man, it's important to a man to know that his wife is in Niagara Falls. What do they call you?
I have a husband and sons and son-in-laws, and none of them measure their female's worth by how long they can wait to go to the bathroom.
You probably have a bladder the size of a green pea, and I couldn't...
I probably do, but they don't love me for that.
I couldn't
You're an absolute idiot.
I couldn't be married to a woman like you. I'll have you know that.
Well, you're exactly right. You couldn't be married to a woman like me.
Oh, go change your diaper.
Now you're getting really insulting.
I intend to be.
No, you're fine, but he did.
Well, she was.
No, you were.
What did I say?
Go change the diaper.
He needs one.
I think that you probably have a bladder the size of a grain of sand.
He's getting worse by the minute, isn't he?
You know that your husband probably doesn't really love you. He just says he does. But he's looking for a woman with a good-sized bladder. I can tell you this, Sonia, because I'm a Korean War veteran, and you never eyeball a junkyard dog. I don't look at a woman's chest. I don't look at the size of her rear end. I want to know how big that bladder is.
Yeah, okay.
I repeat my statement.
Yeah.
This man is an absolute idiot.
He's weird.
And I'm not going to spend any more time on him. Thank you for letting me talk.
I got married me a woman with a big bladder. Well, what are you laughing at?
Cindy, go ahead. Cindy, hi.
I'm not sure if I want to laugh or cry.
Let me tell you what you cry at. When you see a man and woman been married 47 years and she urinates all over my car, and you think that's funny.
They're funny, but I want to ask you a question, Lloyd.
Well, so ask the question.
There may be a problem with her cell phone. I'm going to put you on hold, Cindy, because you're probably going through a bad cell. Let's go over to Sid. Sid, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sid.
You definitely have a problem. And I really
Yes, I do. My wife needs diapers.
No, I think it's deeper than that. I think you're very, very bitter. Very bitter.
Well,
you know,
thank you,
it's
Dr.
Very
Laura.
Bad. It's very bad for the kidneys and the bladder. And any nurse will tell you that.
Are you a doctor?
No, my grandmother was a registered nurse, and she told me that my whole life.
Ooh, registered nurse. Well, get a load of Ben Casey.
Why do you have to be a smartass?
And you're a Korean War veteran.
Get a load of Dr. Kildare, registered nurse.
You don't care about your wife.
Welcome to ER.
You are not thinking about your wife. You don't love your wife.
I'm proud of my wife that she could hold her water from here to New York and never bother a man about, you know, you probably make up for your small bladder by having the ability to eat one of those kielbasa.
Okay, that's it. I can't listen to
it
him.
It always takes your type of personality to be married to a gem of a woman like your wife. She must be a little codependent because nobody else would be able to tolerate you. You have been married an extremely long amount of time.
You know, Sid, I hung up on him.
Oh.
Because I didn't like what he just said to you. But you made a very good point, and we're going to move on.
Okay.
Thank you, Sid.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. The voice of Lloyd was performed by me, and the people that called in thought he was a real guy. And what man among us hasn't at one time or another dealt with that problem? Hey, I need to go. Why don't you pull over? Honey, we're in Watts. So what? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Like I said, I was doing the voice there of whoever that person was. Oh yeah, Lloyd. If you want to see us perform our show live and have a couple of drinks and go for some fun prizes and spend some time in Las Vegas and get a special gift from me and go to the Oasis Spa and go to the Luxor Hotel and have a little dance time with a blues and brews party on a Saturday night after seeing our show on a Friday night, all of this can be yours and more if you join us for the Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas party September the 27th through the 29th. Now, we have got planned for you a Hendry Happy Hour on Friday night, followed by our live broadcast. On Saturday night, you'll join me at the Raw Nightclub for our exclusive Blues and Brews party, where you'll hang with me and be entertained by a live blues band. Then the package also includes, of course, double occupancy, lodging for two at the Luxor for Friday and Saturday night, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission into the Raw Nightclub after our parties conclude, and everyone attending will receive a special gift from me as well. And, well, all you have to do is call this number, 1-800-288-1000. The price is only $348. That's what I was going to say before I just completely blacked out. $348 for the weekend. That's it. Both nights at the Luxor, our broadcast, our VIP parties, everything. $348. Here's the number, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Now, this is a VIP party. There isn't going to be any tickets at the door. The only way to get in on one of these exclusive packages is to make the call 1-800-288-1000. The packages are going fast. As a matter of fact, I think we're only going to be selling these things through when? Tomorrow? I'm pretty sure that's it. You've only got a couple of days left. 1-800-288-1000 for our special Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party September the 27th through the 29th. Now, let me tell you where we're going to be tomorrow, because I'm very proud of our live broadcast tomorrow from the great city of Salt Lake. We are going to be at the Silver Lake Lodge in Deer Valley, outside of Salt Lake City, for a benefit fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Salt Lake. The festivities are going to start at 5 p.m. You guys in the Salt Lake City area, really, you need to get on the horn, man, and make some reservations for this. It's going to start at 5 p.m. on Friday night, tomorrow night, at the Silver Lake Lodge. It's located at 7600 Royal Street in Park City, Utah. The schedule for the evening will be as follows. From 6 to 7, we'll have a national live radio broadcast featuring me and my cast of characters. Then from 7 to 8, we'll have a special Q&A for you guys in Salt Lake City, hosted by me and emceed by Call's morning host Tom Barberi. At 8 o'clock, a fundraising dinner and a charity auction. The cost is $150 per person, and the best part is all of the proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Salt Lake. For more information or to make reservations, please contact Amanda. The number is 801-908-1387, 801-908-1387. That's for the Boys and Girls Club of the United States of America and Greater Salt Lake and the whole planet Earth, because it's really cool. And I'm really happy to be able to do stuff like that, because we walk a line here on the Phil Hendry Show between disgusting and we do good stuff. But here's what's happened with our show. We've gained a level of legitimacy. We do things that other guys get in trouble for, but we don't, because we give our money to My Friend's Place and the Boys and Girls Club, and we do nice things, see? If you knuckleheads would do more for charity, you wouldn't have the FCC on your ass, and you wouldn't be sitting on your ass with no gig right now. You know what I'm saying? You know who I'm talking to, too. By the way, that 2001 CD, 2002 CD is going to be coming fast, so be forewarned. We will be selling that soon. And the best part about our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, you're going to get double the bang for the dollar. You'll get double the pump for the price. You're going to get, oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what I mean. You're going to get a good deal, because it's going to be a two CD set for the same price as one. $20, man, and you're going to get double the material. You want to know why we're doing that? Because we figure you guys being as cheap as you are, you're going to go for that big time. If you get two CDs of Phil Hendry Show material for the same price as one, $20, we figure you guys are so cheap that you'll just dig that price. So it's going to be sweet. Look for that. We'll be selling it on our website. And speaking of the website, and I don't want to be doing too many commercials, but this is important, and you're really missing a great opportunity. If you've just joined our show, if you're a fan of the show, if you want to know more about the show, if you want to know more about our staff, we're putting up a special bio page, as a matter of fact, for our staff where you can read up on Craig Taylor, our engineer, Janice, our producer, and Chris, our associate producer. Have you guys got your little pictures in yet? We're going to get those pictures in. Okay, cool. So you'll be able to read up on the staff. If you visit our website, philhenryshow.com, you'll get audio on our show, short-form bits, long-form bits. The last 30 days we have completely archived. Every show we've done over the last 30 days is completely archived, every single second of the show. So you can, if you missed an hour here, you missed an hour there, you can check it out on the website. If you missed a bit here, a bit there, check it out on the website. We are also going to put up on the site a listing of all the cuts available on our Best Of CDs, so you'll be able to sort of cross-reference that stuff. What else we got? Oh, we have our Listen Live line. So wherever you are in the world, you can log on and listen to The Phil Hendry Show, no matter what the time of day. It is listen on demand. Now, all of this is for the small, infinitesimally small, embarrassingly small price of $6.95 a month. And on top of the audio, which you pay for, there's a lot of free stuff on The Phil Hendry Show. There's my biography. You can read about show news. You can log on and listen. Are the interviews, you got to pay for those? I don't think you have to pay for the interviews. You can log on and listen or watch the different interviews I've done with TV stations and radio shows. Along with our Comedy Gold archives, there's a scrapbook. See pictures of me and the family down through the years. We also have a fun house where you can play a game called Hendroids. It's based on asteroids. You blast my head out of space, and you basically just blow my head. Anyway, you have to get it out of, you know, blow it up is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, win, you know, points and whatever, man. You're not going to get yourself any prizes, so forget that. I also have a semi-regular diary that I put up on there. We have a souvenir shop where you can go and buy the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse shirt, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. All of our CDs are available there. All the money from the CD sales goes to my friend's place. We have a list of all of our affiliates where you can hear The Phil Hendry Show, which, by the way, we have another affiliate in Canada. I generally don't mention the addition of new affiliates, but we do have another affiliate in Canada. It's a great affiliate in Niagara. And the call letters are CKTB, correct? Janice is nodding. Janice, you're from Canada. You better help me on this. Yeah, I think it is. And if it's not, then I'm sure somebody's going to get angry. But we do appreciate the fact that we've now penetrated into the land of my parents, my older sister and older brother, the great country of Canada. As well, on the Phil Hendry Show website, you can see a daily log of all of the things that we did on the radio show yesterday, and there's selections from the show. We have a log that tells you what happened on the show, and we've also got cute little things like the Wall of Female Listeners, where if you're a female listener to the show, send us a picture. We'll stick it up on the website. Just go to the Wall of Female Listeners and become one of the only 36 women in the world that listen to our show. We only have 36 women listening. Maybe you're one more. Check out the Wall of Female Listeners. It's all there on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. I think it's one of the most original websites on the web, and it gives you a lot. Just, it gives you a lot of stuff, man. It's not just a lot of baloney. There's not a lot of pictures about events that we did. It's about a radio show. And so we give you radio stuff. We hope you'll visit our website as well as all the other things they're going to be doing. Tomorrow night, we're in Salt Lake City, and a week from tomorrow night, we are in Las Vegas for our big broadcast there. And can I mention one more time, as long as we're talking about the show, this is a really cool website. It's an unofficial website, but that's cool because they don't have any audio on it. And as you know, I'm cheap as hell, and I'm a real skinflint. And anybody that tries to bootleg my audio, they hear from me real quick. But this guy doesn't have any audio. He just has a listing of Steve Bozell lawsuits. But this is different from the one that G. Gordon Liddy read from. This actually has more content. And the website is lawsuits by Steve Bozell. It's www.angelfire.com/CA4/Phil Hendry/lawsuits. And he's got this one, for instance. Steve Bozell is suing Amco because he got scared during one of their radio commercials with the beep beep. He lost control of his car and ran into a bus, killing all the children on board. Steve Bozell sued his neighbor one time for brandishing a shotgun at him. The neighbor was mad because he walked outside to find Steve hovering over and behind the dog's, his neighbor's dog. Steve wasn't wearing any clothes. Steve was mad that the dog was barking at him all the time and was using a technique to show the dog who was dominant. Steve thought the dog was trying to ridicule him. So he's nude, trying to, you know, like, simulate pumping the dog, I guess. Steve sued another neighbor that had a minor bird. Every day as Steve came home from work, the minor bird would make disparaging remarks to Steve. He was further harassed. Later, when he started receiving threatening phone calls, he discovered after Star 69ing the calls that it was the minor bird making the calls. It's pretty cool. Good website. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget that number to join us in Vegas in a week. 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Join us in Vegas. There's a few packages left. It ought to be a party. 1-800-288-1000.